Yes, I love the sound of chatter up in the church. Yes. Anybody excited about the weekend? Anybody had a good weekend here? Kind of, yeah, yeah. Man, I had a fun weekend. I coached my littlest's flag football team, and we went into, I think it was a record. So last weekend, we had a 6 overtime game. This Saturday, I think we had 9 overtimes. The best news is that we won both. So praise Jesus. Thank you. We did have a fun weekend. Hey, my name is Derek. If you're a guest here, man, we are so honored that you're here. If you've been here a long time, we are so honored that you're here as well. We believe that God is doing some incredible things all across the world. This week, I had an opportunity to gather with pastors from all over the country, whether it was from New York or Los Angeles or Florida. We all converged into one spot. And I know when we listen to the news, we listen to even our community, that sometimes it feels like, man, is the church still alive and well? Yeah, somebody said it, right? But really, is the church is it still relevant? And I just want to tell you and just bring some encouragement to the house today that God is still on the throne. He's never changed his authority. He's never changed his power. And his love for us is still as strong as ever. Can we just give a praise for that? Man, it was so encouraging to be with different pastors from around the country to hear stories about what God is doing in their community. And for me to get to share what God is doing in our context. And listen, we live in an incredible part of the country, don't we? It's a beautiful part of the country. And in this part of the country, there are so many incredible life-giving churches. We really are honored. We are one of many in this region where there are incredible people that love Jesus. They love him and with our songs. They love him in the community, and we are one of those. But here's what we believe. We don't believe that every church is the exact same, that there is diversity in the kingdom, just like there's diversity in all of us. We're all different. And so we as a church, we don't think we got it all figured out. Man, never are we going to feel that way. But here's the thing we know is that God has given us a lane to walk down. We don't have to be like that church in Atlanta. We don't have to be like that church in Dallas. We don't have to be like the church down the road in Bluntville. We bless those guys. We honor them. We come and rally with them. But God has given us a lane. And we want to be as much as we can in tune with that lane and bring as much of ourselves to fulfill what God has called us to. And the vision that God has called this church to, not every church, but this church called Christ Fellowship, is this, that we are going to equip and empower individuals to be all that God designed them to be. That is the big picture of where this church that is called Christ Fellowship in Kingsport and the Tri-Cities, where we are going. And so everything we do, everything we plan and desire, it comes to alignment with that vision. And then that vision, because it's kind of out there, we have a mission. And that mission is there to help us make decisions, to help filter through relationships and partnerships locally, but also around the world. And the mission of Christ Fellowship is to cultivate a community that is continually transformed by the power of the Spirit as we hear his voice, walk in freedom, and live out our God-given identity everywhere we go. And we believe that if we can stay in our lane and not look to the left, not to the right, and hey, they're doing something really great, man, that's a great blessing, but God's called us to this thing. We believe if we do that and we're obedient to what God is calling our church, that God's gonna do some incredible things. Incredible things. And we're going to come more and more alive as a community and as individuals than ever before. And so last week I talked about that we're first and foremost a community. We're cultivating a community. Community with God first and foremost, friendship with God, which is our blessing, our joy that we have through Jesus, but also community with one another. Man, this is a time in history where there is so much loneliness, so much isolation. Even though we're connected socially on platforms, on social media and whatnot, there's so much loneliness. And so we want to be a place where people can actually meet people and actually know them, not just know their name, not just know when their birthday is, but actually to know them and be known. This is what we want to cultivate here. We also want to be a church where we're continually being transformed, that we never get, all about ourselves. And we're like, we got it all figured out. Come look at us. Y'all are wrong, but we're right. We don't want to be a church that just is never open to saying God is going to continue to teach us things. Because you and I know that we never can get to the bottom of the mystery of God. The moment we think we got God figured out is the moment that we're going to learn we don't have God figured out. But we want to continually learn. We want to continue to understand the scriptures and the truth that's packed in them. We want to understand God. And so we want to continually be transformed, be changed, just like we sang about. And then lastly, we recognize that that is only going to happen if we have presence of God here, the Spirit of God, that's empowering us internally, but also externally for the benefit of others. And so this is where we're going. And so today, I want us to think about Jesus, because if you're out of church, if you're here, if you're trying to figure this church out, if you're trying to find a church, man, we bless wherever you land. I would just tell you as a pastor, find some church to land in and put your roots down. Whether it's here, church down the road, I don't care. Find a family and be there, all right? And so any church you go to, whether it's here or somebody else here, here's what you should be asking. Does the vision and the mission align with Jesus? Sounds pretty obvious, but we should be asking these questions. And so here's what I want to start with. I want to start talking about Jesus today. And here's a statement that I think is pretty obvious, but I think we need to start there, is that Jesus, when he walked this earth, he lived perfectly related to the Father. Jesus lived perfectly related to the Father. He and the Father were one. When you see the Jesus, you see the Father. When you hear Jesus speak, you are hearing the Father. We see the heart of the Father. He is the one that came in the flesh. He is the visible image of the invisible God, the fullness of God, what dwelled in what? Jesus, right? And so Jesus, he lived perfectly connected to the Father. And so he said, go and make disciples. And he made disciples. And this is what we're learning as his followers, is how do we live related to God? How do we live in this place where we are connected to the Father? We're living out of a place of being loved so that we can return love, that we can then love ourselves, and then we can love others. This is what we're learning as disciples. This is what Jesus modeled for us perfectly, living connected to the Father. And I believe if we look at Jesus' life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I believe we see three key areas that we see Jesus did these three things, and it helped him live perfectly connected. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one is Jesus was dependent upon the voice of his Father. Jesus was dependent upon the voice of his Father. We got a passage here in John. This is Jesus speaking, and he says this in John, I think it's John chapter 12. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. Isn't this incredible? This is Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah, God in the flesh. He's saying, listen, I have come to the earth and I have yielded myself to the voice of the Father. And so when you hear me speak, you're hearing the heart of heaven. When you see me do things, you are experiencing the Father here on this earth. And so what we see is Jesus lived a life fully dependent on the voice of his Father. And as he walked the earth, whether he was in a private place up on a mountain praying or whether he was in a corporate gathering, a marketplace, he always had his ear towards heaven. He always had his eye open. God, what are you doing? Father, what are you doing? What are you saying? I want to align with you. And as he walked, this is the second thing that I see in Jesus. He lived completely free. Completely free. There's no other person in history that lived a life of freedom that Jesus lived. And I think we can understand that because we are a society that so quickly takes offense. Anybody else agree with that? Like I won't ask you to raise your hand, but it's in your spirit, man, raise your hand. If you have ever been offended because somebody didn't like your post on social media, don't raise your hand. We don't want to know that. Every one of you. If you've, let me see your hands on this. Have you ever been offended that you weren't invited to a party? Anybody else here besides me? Yeah. Have you ever been offended that a car you let in did not wave you? Come on, preach it, Derek. Come on. We are a people that live offended so often. But I want you to know something. The one that we follow, the one who has brought us from death to life, he never lived offended. Think about this. He's laying there at the end of his life. They're driving nails through his wrist and his feet, and they're putting him up on a cross where the weight of his body was going to be on these three points. And as they do that, let me tell you, there was a moment where Jesus could have been offended. You know why? Because Jesus did nothing wrong, yet they were putting him to death. Sounds like we could get offended about that. That his own people, the Jews, are the ones saying, crucify him, crucify him. His own people. I would get offended if some of y'all were saying, crucify Derek. I'd be offended. And they didn't believe what he had to say, that he was from the Father.
And that when you see him, you're seeing the Father. They wanted to have nothing of it. Listen, he had every reason humanly to be offended. But you know what happened in that moment? Jesus said this incredible thing, and he shows us how free he was. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Can we all agree that takes an incredible level of freedom to not live in offense in that moment? Can we just agree with that? This is what he modeled for us. How to live a life of freedom. And you know why he lived a life of freedom? Because he is the truth, the way. He is truth. And so what we see in Jesus, he never believed a lie about who God was. He never believed a lie about who he was. And so because of that, he lived from a place of truth all the time. And through that truth, he was able to live in freedom. And we want to help. We want to learn what that means as disciples. The third thing is Jesus lived or embraced and lived out his identity. We see this beautifully when Jesus was getting ready to start his earthly ministry, his public ministry. He went down to the River Jordan, and he got John the Baptist. Now remember, this is not a story. This is really happening. So literally, John the Baptist, a very real man, wearing his, you know, fur, you know, little whatever, eating bugs and honey. John the Baptist literally, think about this, we sometimes just glaze over, this is so real. Jesus was so human. In this moment, John the Baptist grabs Jesus' head. First he says, I can't even unstrap your sandals. I'm not worthy. And Jesus says, no, I've come. This is gonna fulfill what I came to do. This is what I want you to do. And so John the Baptist, imagine John the Baptist. He's taking Jesus and he puts him under the water, under the Jordan, and he raises him back up. And in that moment, something extremely significant happened. It says the heavens parted. The Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And as he did that, a voice from heaven, which is Father, said this. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know what the Father was doing in that moment? He was speaking identity over Jesus before he went into the world to be known. And let me tell you, as Jesus walked the earth, as he spoke, as he did things, he did it from a place of knowing what the Father said about him. He did it from a place of knowing that he was the beloved Son in whom the Father was pleased. Before he ever healed somebody, the Father was pleased with him. Before he ever raised some from the dead, before he ever cast out a demon, before he ever got up and preached an incredible message on the mount, before he ever did this, these are the words he heard. You are my Son, and I'm so pleased in you, and I love you. And it was from that place that Jesus did all that he did the next 3.5 years. So when you look at the life of Jesus, what he modeled for us, how he lived his life, how he taught his disciples, I think these three things are key. And I think we're going to have them on the screen here. These three things are key. We want to hear God. We want to walk in freedom. And we want to live out our God-given identity. Now, we don't want to do this in isolation, right? This is why you see on the left side, it's that word community. Because Jesus modeled this so perfectly with the 12 disciples that all that he did was in the context of community. And so we as a people, we want to recognize to be able to hear God, to walk in freedom, and to live out our identity, we have to walk in community with God first and then with one another so that we can be formed into his image, so that we can walk fully alive. Now, if you have your Bible, I would love for you to turn real quick to Isaiah 55. It's towards the middle of your Bible. If you have it, you can grab it. And if you have a phone, you can turn there. But Isaiah 55 is an Old Testament book that was capturing Isaiah, who was a prophet. He was speaking the words of God in the Old Testament. And I would encourage you this week, if you have time, to go ahead and read the whole chapter of 55. It's a beautiful chapter, so many things to take in there. But for time's sake, I just want us to narrow into verse 3. So verse 3, it says, this is God speaking, incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Incline your ear. You know what that means? Turn your attention to hear from God. Turn your ear towards heaven. What is God saying? And then I love, he says, come to me. And I think somebody in this room, you need to hear God is inviting you today to come to him. And you know why he's asking you to come to him? Not to say, I'm going to take you behind the woodshed and teach you a few things. You know why God says, come to me? Because he likes you. He loves you. And he wants to teach you some things. He wants you to walk in freedom. And so he says, incline your ear to me, come to me. And then he says this word, hear. Everybody say the word hear. Hear. He says, hear with your ears, hear. And look what he says, what will happen when you hear? That your soul may what? Live. How many of you want to live here today? Like, how many of you don't want to walk around like a zombie? Like, I got to go to work. I get money. I pay my bills. I might go golfing once a month, but I'm going to keep working. How many of you actually want to live here today? Anybody else besides me want to live? Here's one of the ways we see the scripture say, if you want to live, we need to hear the voice of God. We need to know what God sounds like. We need to know what he says. And the first thing I want you to write down in your notes is that God wants you to experience him through hearing him. God longs for you to experience him, to encounter him through hearing him. This is not just an Old Testament reality. This is also very much a New Testament reality. In John chapter 16, Jesus is, I think, giving some of his best teaching. John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Towards the end of his life, he's giving his disciples some clarity on what's going to happen. He's going to be leaving. And in John 16, Jesus tells them once again that he's going to be leaving. But the disciples, they're like, man, I don't want you to leave, Jesus. I've just given my 3 years to you. Like, I thought there was going to be something in this for me. What, did I just waste my life? And Jesus says, no. He says, it's actually going to be better. It's going to be to your advantage if I leave. Can you imagine Jesus? You're walking around with him, and he's like, hey, guys, I'm leaving, but it's going to be better for you. And he said, the reason why it's going to be better for you is because I'm going to send the helper, which is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, it's better for you to actually have the Spirit of God here than to have me here in the flesh. And then in verse 12, we skip down in chapter 16, he says this. He says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I still have many things to say to you. This is Jesus speaking. I want to speak a lot of things to you, but he says, you're not ready to bear them. You can't bear them now. And then verse 13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, the Spirit, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And so what we see Jesus telling us here is that you and I are actually created to hear God. You and I are actually wired and designed that we could actually communicate with God, that we could talk to God, but here in this text, so beautifully said by Jesus, that we would actually hear God speak. Now here, I'm going to ask you a question, a couple questions, and you don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever had a creative thought in your life? I hope some of you have. I believe that was probably from God speaking to you. Have you ever had a thought that you wanted to be kind to somebody else? Anybody ever had that thought? You're like, I'll raise my hand for that one. Everybody look at me, right? Have you ever had that thought? I would say that's from God. Have you ever recognized your need for forgiveness and saw Jesus? Have you ever had that? You know what that was? You were hearing from God. You were hearing his voice. You can't come to the Father except if the Spirit draws you to the Father. And so listen, you and I, God created us with the capacity to be able to hear God, to be aware of God. And yet so often I think we miss it. We miss it. I can tell you when I was first learning in my mid-20s that I could actually hear God, I was learning a lot of things. I was learning how God speaks. Like, one of the ways that we hear God in the most, I think, consistent, profound ways is through the Word of God. Anybody else want to say amen to that? Like, we're people that don't just read this to know about God. We read this because when we read it, it's life, and it actually shows us who God is in his heart. Not because the pastor told me, or I got to do my my quiet time in the morning. No, I read this because I want to get to know God. And so he speaks through the scriptures. He also loves to speak when we ask him questions. That's why we pray. We ask questions, and then we leave space to listen. I think God also loves to speak through nature. Man, I don't know about you, but when a sunrise comes up, man, it just speaks heaven to me, and I love it. God speaks through encounters of all different kinds. He speaks through other people as well sometimes. And in my mid-20s, my wife and I, even though we had grown up in church, we were really foreign to this idea that God still speaks outside of just speaking through scripture. We were like, you know, that was so foreign to me. And then in our mid-20s, we had some different encounters with God. And so we started learning, and we were in a small group. So we were in community trying to hash these things out. And I remember we were in a small group one time. We were just in it. Somebody else was leading it. And there was a guy that shared some dark season that he was having. He said, really, like, every time he's in his house, there's just a darkness there. And as I'm sitting there, you know, doing my thing, I felt in here, not an audible voice, I felt in here, hey, tell him to go anoint his house with oil, all of it. And I was like, nope. Anybody else ever been there, done that? Nope, ain't gonna do that. And so you know what? I didn't do it. And so we go have our small group. We get our Bibles out. We're reading. I'm all excited. And then I was just like, the Holy Spirit was, hey, remember what I told you to tell? I was like, yeah, but I'm not gonna tell him that. And so, you know, I did the real manly thing. I waited till small group was over and I asked this guy to come into a room where nobody else was. I was like, hey, come here. I just gotta tell you something real quick. I said, hey, remember that thing you said about feeling dark and in your house? I said, when you said that, I just felt like maybe you should anoint your house with oil, all of it. And I'm expecting like a stupid look. He said, that's a pretty good idea. And I said, you know what? Darn right, that's a good idea. You should go do that. And so I left that night. I felt pretty good about myself. I felt like, man, finally, I said yes to God. I listened to him. I stepped out in faith. It's good. I step away. I forgot about the conversation. Later that week, he lets me know, hey, I did what you said to do. I was like, oh, that really good thing you told me, I told you to do? Yeah, he's like, yeah, I anointed my whole house with oil. He said, but when I got done, I felt like there was still an unease. And so he was thinking and praying, God, what is this about? And then he realized, oh, wait, I didn't go to my basement to anoint my house with oil. You said to anoint my whole house with oil. And so he said, I went down to the basement, which I never go in. It's nasty, disgusting. I never go down there. But because I wanted to be obedient to what I felt like God said to me, he said, I went down in the basement. And as he's anointing his basement, he finds a natural gas leak. And so he gets the authorities. They come. They fix the natural gas leak. He's out of there. You know, they fix it. And to him, he said, I think that God saved my life because he spoke to you and you shared it. Now you tell me that God's voice doesn't matter today. You tell me that God doesn't want to speak today through his people and to his people. And I'll have my friend call you up and say, hey, my life was spared because somebody heard the voice of God and stepped out in faith to share it. And so we want to be a place where people learn to be equipped to hear God's voice. Now, as we hear God's voice, I want you to know that we're called to actually learn to grow in discernment of God's voice. Is this of God or is this not of God? And there's plenty of scriptures that we could throw up there. And I think I'll read a couple real quick of why we should test what we hear. This is Romans 12:2. I referenced this last week. But in the middle, it says, by testing that you may discern what is the will of God. So we want to test what we hear. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 says, but test everything, hold fast to what is good. 1 John 4, I love this one. 1 John 4 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything someone tells you. He says, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. You see, you and I, we are called to discern what we feel like we're hearing personally or what we're hearing corporately. And so even on a Sunday morning, you should ask the question, was that really aligned with God this morning? If not, you should email me. In love. But you and I, we're called to test every spirit. Not just buy in and believe. And so if you're sitting there saying like, how do I hear God's voice? Or how do I know it's God? I think that's questions we all ask. How do I know, is this God? Here's real practically a couple ways that you can test this, filter this out. This is not an all-inclusive list, but here's a list. I think you'll be able to read this. Yes, best we can here. So here's a couple questions you should ask. I would love for you to take a picture of this or write this down, because when you feel like you're hearing God, these are the questions you should be asking before you make a decision based on that, all right? Number one, does it bring God glory and does it align with Jesus? Now what did Jesus say the Spirit would do? He said that when he speaks, it'll bring glory to who? To him. So if what you're hearing doesn't bring fame and glory to God, I'm probably not God. If what you're saying doesn't align with the person of Jesus, who is the Word in the flesh. So I could have said scripture here, and that would have been very accurate here to say that's aligned with scripture. But I just said Jesus, because here's the thing with scripture. Everything has to align with Jesus anyhow in the scriptures. And so when we hold that up, God, is this of you? I got to say, does this align with who I read about in the scriptures? Number two is, does this bring you any sense of peace? Because when the presence of God is with you, even if it's a hard thing you're gonna have to walk through, there's gonna be a peace there. Is the word encouraging? Does it stir up hope in you? Once again, even if it's something you don't necessarily want to do, is there a hopefulness in the outcome of it? Fourth, does it motivate you to change or move forward? Does it motivate you to get off your, whatever you're doing, whatever comfort zone you're in, and to move out of that? Does it spur you on to move? And then lastly, does it result in transformation and the fruit of the Spirit? If the Spirit's leading you to do something, the fruit of that is going to be what He produces. And so these are five things that we should be asking. God, is this you? God, is this aligned with you? God, is this bringing me peace, or am I still even torn up about it? Then I got to ask the Lord, God, why am I so anxious about this thing? These are some of the filters that we can practically put in place as we're asking as a community and as individuals, is what I'm hearing from God. And I can tell you, one of the chief roles I think of any pastor is this. It's to help people become more aware of God and then to respond appropriately. You know what that response is called? It's called worship. So as a pastor, I don't want you to just hear God's voice. I also want to help equip you through our church and through our leadership of how do you respond to that? How do I say yes? That's my heart for you. And so we as a church, we want to help equip you to grow in discernment of hearing God and seeing God. But we also, the second one, is we want you to learn what it means to walk in freedom. I've got a couple scriptures. They're going to go pretty fast, so you can jot them down if you want. You probably won't be able to turn in your Bible that fast. But the first one I want you to see is John 8:36. This is Jesus speaking. So he says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Does that get anybody else excited in here? He said, if the Son, Jesus, sets you free, you will be free indeed. Listen, you are free if you're a follower of Jesus. You are free. You can't get more free than you currently are if you have been forgiven of your sins and you're in relationship with the Father through Jesus. You cannot get more free. But here's the interesting part. Although every follower of Jesus is free, fully, completely, here's what we're learning. We're learning to live free in community with God and with one another. You know, it's one thing to say, I'm free. It's another thing when my life actually is experiencing what is the reality in the spiritual realm. So here at this church, we want to help people to not just know they're free, but how do I actually live this out? How do I actually walk this out? And what are we free from? What are we free from? I think the number one thing that Jesus came to set us free from is separation. Separation. Separation from God, separation from His ways, separation from life. This is the scheme of the enemy who comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. God came that we would have life abundantly, and part of that life is that He has removed the separation. What can separate us from the love of God? What did He say? Nothing. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ. And not only am I in Christ, but Christ is in me. Amazing thought that you and I are free. You're free. You're free. You're free. Free from separation. And you know what separation leads to? It gets there from fear. It gets there from shame. And it gets there from guilt. Man, when I'm afraid, man, I do some crazy things. Either I run, or I put my hands up to fight. That's what I do with God when I'm afraid. When I'm ashamed, you know what I do? I try to cover myself through lies, through projecting everything's perfect in my life. I got no problems. I don't know about you. Through guilt, man, we get guilty. We start making up great stories. We start going to a lot of things that we think will bring us freedom. But we find out whether it's porn, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's making a lot of money, whether it's having an affair, we hope these things are going to set us free. But I'm going to tell you, you and I, we know the truth. As we separate from God, we just find out it just leads to more and more death. And Jesus came to set you free, not to lead you to death, to actually allow you to experience life. I love how Paul writes in Galatians 5:1. He says, "For freedom Christ has set you free. Stand firm." Stand firm. It's active. "Stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." He says, don't do it. You know why he says not to do it? Because you and I are prone to do it. You and I, even though we're free, man, we have this knack, this ability to go back and to live like we're slaves so quickly, so quickly. And so we don't want to just say we're free. We recognize that when we are free, that's just the beginning of walking in freedom. You know, when you walk, it's active. It's an ongoing. It's a consistent decision that, you know, once I decide not to walk, I stop walking. But when I want to walk, I got to keep on walking. This is what it looks like to live in freedom.
It's not just this one moment, Jesus, forgive me, man. That's the beautiful beginning of being free, and you are fully free. But the reality is living that out is not a one-time event. It's one after another after another. The level of freedom that you have right now, listen, God is not satisfied with that level. He wants you to be more free. He wants you to be free in everything. And we see this in another passage in John 8:32. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do you know how you'll know if you're believing truth? You'll be free. Every time, truth always leads us to freedom. So if you're not feeling free in an area of your life, listen, you are believing a lie and you are aligning yourself with a lie. Because truth always sets us free. And here at Christ Fellowship, one of the ways that we're helping people to walk in freedom is this one line, and I would love for you to write this down. Is that we experience freedom as we tell God our perceived truth and then align with his truth. This is called walking with Jesus, guys. It's not once and done. It's an ongoing relationship where we lean into his voice and where we learn to walk in freedom. And so what does that look like for us? So even last night, Kate and I, we had a little date night. We have some in-laws in town, and so they were watching the kids. And so we went out and had some Thai food, which we love Thai food. And we come back to the driveway, and you know, like any parent, we're trying to extend that date night as far as possible. So we're sitting in the driveway. We turn out the lights so nobody sees us. Anybody else ever done that, parents? Some of you are laughing. You know what that's like. So we're sitting there in our van, and we're just having this beautiful conversation. And Kate's actually teaching in middle school today, and so it's really fun for us. We're both teaching, and she started just saying, hey, I got some anxiety. I've got some fears. I've got some things that I'm putting in myself, and I just don't feel right. And so what I did, more so of her husband than her pastor, as her husband, I said, you know what, let's just tell the truth. In our little minivan outside of our house, we sat in the dark. Didn't make out yet, that's later. And, sorry, random thought. But in that moment, I had her just confess, which is just telling the truth. Just tell God the truth. What are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling the blank. I'm feeling this way. I'm feeling that way. And then as she confessed, this is what we do. We don't just end with confession. Never Jesus left somebody there with just pouring out their guts. All that pouring out ourselves is to empty ourselves of truth, of our perceived truth. And then we ask God this really important question that we have to ask him. God, what is true? What do you say in this situation that I don't see you in? What do you say when I feel like a failure, when I feel like I got a track record of messing things up? What do you say about me, God? When I feel like you're not there and you're like a million miles away, God, what do you say about that truth? And as we open ourselves up to receive truth, it may come in the form of a scripture. God loves to quote himself. It may come in the form of a vision or memory that he wants to show you how he's been faithful. It may come through somebody else speaking life. And so in that moment, I'm in the driver's side. She's there speaking truth, sharing truth. In that moment, I got to speak truth over her. I said, babe, here's the truth. This is what God says about you. And I just reminded her of truth. And what are we doing in that moment? We're exchanging the lie for the truth. And you know what that does? It sets us free. It's not a one-time thing, man. I'm telling you, as your pastor, almost daily, I got to come to God and I say, God, this is what I'm believing about this situation. This is what I'm believing about that person. I'm not real happy about them, but what do you say about this situation? God, I feel like I messed up again, and there's pressure to be perfect, even though it's stupid. Sometimes we buy into that stupid lie. And so I got to ask God, what do you say about me? And when I align with what he says, there's so much freedom. This is what he wants for you. He wants you to be free. He wants you to experience the reality that Jesus came to set you free and you are already free. Anybody else want to be free in here today? Man, it begins with telling God the truth. And then we ask him, God, what is true? What is true? And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing here in a second. But before we do that, I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads. And we're just going to take a second as a church family to pray individually. And so here's the question. I would just invite you to close your eyes, not for anything other than to keep distraction down and so you can focus on what God's saying. So Jesus, we just recognize that you are a God who still speaks, that you declared that God would continue to speak through your spirit. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us even right now, that you would
work through our minds, that you would work through our memories, that you would bring to mind the truth that you've given us in your word. And so, Jesus, right now, is there any area of our life that we are not free in? We're believing a lie, that we're separating ourselves from what is true, where we are feeling fear, where we're feeling guilt, where we're feeling shame. Any area right now, Lord, that we are not free, would you, in your grace and your mercy and your desire to give us freedom, would you show us where that is right now? So all over this room, God's just going to give you a memory, give you a, remind you of something that you're feeling heavy, you're feeling a burden for that's not yours to carry. Or maybe something that you're struggling with or a lie you're believing about yourself. So the beauty of Jesus, this is what he says. He says, tell me the truth. And so right now, just you don't have to speak it out loud. You can, you know, whisper it out loud, but just say, God, I confess this is how I feel about this thing. This is the truth that I perceive. And so now you've literally engaged in this sacred act of telling the truth to God, confession. That's what it is. Now here's the beauty of it. This is where we go. We don't stay there. Then we ask God, God, what do you say is actually true in this situation? What do you say is true about me? And let him speak, whether it's a thought, whether it's a verse, whether it's a memory of his faithfulness. This is the beauty of repentance, aligning with God to change your mind. And so right now, if as you spoke truth, as you confessed, and as you received truth, I just want you to take a second and thank God. Thank God that he's a God that speaks. Thank God that he's a God that always forgives. He's a God that never leaves us, that he always is with us, that he has done away with separation. Thank you, Jesus, for that truth. Jesus, we love you. We love you so much. Holy Spirit, we're so grateful for you. Jesus, we're thankful that you left us so that you could send the Spirit. Jesus, we're so grateful for your beauty and the way that you modeled living a life perfectly related to the Father. Help us to live that way. In Jesus' name, amen.